Daddy's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Whoa, 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 whoa. Tell me why. I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
The Temex machine is kept so clean and it types to a waiting world. A mother feels so shocked, father's world is rocked, and the thoughts turn to their own little girl. Sweet 16,
I'm all shocked.
How are you, my friend? So
living the dream, but I'm not sure whose. Yeah, a big weekend. And Clint Holmes, hey, starring at the Golden Nugget. Finishing up the summer series. How many shows do you have?
I have a total of four. Total of four shows. Two this week. Two
we're
next.
All going to be radio guys
Tuesday
today.
Tuesday and Wednesday of this weekend. Tuesday and Wednesday of next.
And it's backed up at the spaghetti ball.
And my chair just went down.
Anyway, good afternoon. That's why we don't use the chairs. Yeah, that's why we decided to stand. It's easier than fighting with the chairs.
Absolutely.
So anyway, big weekend. Lots of fun. We all still survived through the eclipse. I thought it was funny. One kid asked his mom, "Mom, when is there going to be the apocalypse?"
Well, that was last week. Yeah.
I thought it was funny when you came in today and said, "When's the eclipse?" And I said, "It's over."
Yeah, we didn't get much to hear, did we?
We had a lot of overcast and rain today. Yeah, I flew in early this morning. You couldn't see anything.
Partly cloudy with a touch of sun.
Oh, yeah, no, but you know, it was fun to actually watch it there were people
on
TV.
The
they were so excited. Yeah.
I know.
And there was, I forget where, but one of them, the sun, like, literally.
Black.
The clouds broke through just in time. It was very cool. Very cool.
So I posted what your favorite song would be that would relate to this.
Bonnie Tyler has a rebirth.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, the Eclipse of the Heart.
The Eclipse of the Heart. She's on a Royal Caribbean ship, the Oasis, which is one of their giant ships. I've performed on there a bunch of times.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, the Oasis of the Seas. It was the largest ship in the world, but now they've got a bigger one.
So my question was, she was like on the deck today. They kept going to her on CNN and and stuff. And
we're live with Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, and she'd sing it a cappella with the wind blowing and stuff. I'm just curious. I wonder if they had her sing it while everyone was watching the eclipse. Or if they saved it for
Bonnie, be quiet. We're watching.
Yeah,
the
but
eclipse.
We're watching the eclipse. We'll get to you later.
They were supposed to do it exactly
Knock
the same
it off.
Time.
Oh, is that?
Yeah,
how
that
it was supposed
the,
to go?
That was the gig. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
They were going to do it exactly at the time as the eclipse. Bonnie Tyler was going to sing Eclipse of the Heart.
Ooh.
But we talked about other songs. Other songs.
What a riveting moment.
Dark Side of the Moon was Dark one side. That came up.
You can't go wrong with that.
Bad Moon Rising by CCR was another one we've got. Cat Stevens, Moonshadow. Any others? Are we miss any?
Moonlight in Vermont, if you want to go classic.
Just anything with moon in it?
Yeah, well.
when the moon hits your eye?
Blue Moon?
Yeah, right.
Blue
Moon. Classic.
When the moon hits your eye? Amore?
That's the lyric. That's the title.
When you get caught between the moon and New York City. One of the great lines. You know how that happened? You know?
Christopher Cross.
Yes. No, Peter Allen wrote that.
Oh, I did?
He was on a flight. And the flight was circling New York, and anyway, the moon was circling New York, and he just went, wow, I'm between the moon and New York City. And he wrote that down, and he went to Burt Bacharach and Carol Bayer Sager and said, here's a lyric, I have no idea what it means, if you ever need it for a song. And so when they wrote Arthur's Theme, which is what it's from, and Peter said to him, I know this story from Burt Bacharach. Peter said, by the way, whatever, use it. So when the song came out and they used it, Peter goes, what's my royalty rate on this? And he went, wait a minute, didn't you say just you? So anyway, that's how that happened. That's how that got in that song. It's the only line. If you look at who wrote the song, it'll say Peter Allen, Burt Bacharach, Carol Bayer Sager. That's the only thing Peter wrote is that line.
Wow. I never realized what a big Burt Bacharach fan you are.
Who isn't?
I mean, I saw you post something recently when you had a chance to meet him and sing for him. Yeah. And
I worked with him years ago. But it's too long a story, but the bottom line is 10 years ago, I wrote
we've got an hour to fill.
Okay, I wrote a lyric. I wrote a lyric to a Burt Bacharach song that was on one of his CDs, but it had no lyric. But it moved me. The song moved me. So I wrote this lyric through a friend. I got an appointment with his publisher in L.A. I was living here. An appointment with his publisher to take the lyric to him. My hope was that he'll like it. He'll show it to Burt.
Now, when you say take the lyric, yeah. I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying an actual line in a song?
No, a whole song. I wrote a whole lyric to a song that had no lyric.
Okay.
But Burt Bacharach wrote the music.
I got
and
you.
And put it on his album as an instrumental.
Okay.
Okay, so I wrote a lyric. I drove down to L.A. to show it to the guy. When I got to his office, I walk up and the secretary goes, oh, he's not here. Bob Feed was his name. He's not here. And I go, well, I had an appointment. We just drove 5 hours to meet him. And he goes, no, he's in the studio. When will you be back? Well, it was a Friday. He won't be back till Monday. So yeah. I drove back with that lyric. And when Bert came to the Smith Center last year, 2 weeks ago, I said, I'm taking it. And I had it in an envelope with a little thing. But I got to spend time with him. So I sang it for him. I said, you got to hear this. And he said, I'd love to hear it. So I sang it. And he looked at me and he said, man, that is a beautiful lyric, man. So that was it.
Fucking wow. Awesome. Yeah.
Clint, I want to
That's
ask
wild.
You.
It was
I,
wild.
I know yeah. we're going a little bit off topic here, but when you are writing a song.
No, we're not.
Is it, well, I didn't know. I thought you wanted to get into the sports thing. But anyway,
there's no boundaries.
My question is, when it comes to your head, mm-hmm. you just, is it like a one-day shot, you get down, and then maybe a day later you go back and revisit, maybe change a line or two? Because to me, I have such admiration for guys like you because I have no musical talent. And so when I look at somebody like you who has the ability to put a pen to paper and come up with an amazing song, I mean, how do you...
Usually it's an idea that you go back to and work.
Okay.
You know, once in a while, mm-hmm. I wrote a song called If Not Now, When?
Okay.
And I wrote it after I had cancer, and it was like this burst of light
epiphany.
That said, yeah, an epiphany, thank you. And I wrote that in literally a half hour, the whole song.
Wow.
But normally, it's an idea, and then I go, do I like the outside? I'm writing a song now called Please Don't Talk About Me Till I'm Gone, country western song. And that was all that I had. Please
you
don't do, talk about me till
country
I'm
western
gone.
So
when
you
doing whatever country, comes into my
so
brain.
So when you create this song, uh-huh. do you have kind of in your mind what type of beats in the background, what type of bass, everything, or when you go to a producer, do you do that on your own? You say, okay, I like this. This is what I was thinking. Because to me, it seems like it's pretty tough when you sit there and there's certain songs that you come up with. It's got to be difficult to kind of figure out what background.
I have usually a melody in my head
okay,
when I'm
gotcha.
Writing a song.
Gotcha.
But oftentimes I'll go to a someone who's better than me at writing melodies, like Christian Tambor, the guy that I work with. He's my musical director.
Okay.
Christian's a genius. I'll go, here's a lyric. And he'll go, blah, blah, blah. And I'll go, glad I came because I never would have thought of that melody.
Well, I have to give a shout out
yes.
to Keith Thompson and Composer
well,
Showcase.
That's what we do, right?
Because it celebrates original music. And you won't sit still through it, Amal, because
tell the story. In my defense, we were there an hour early.
Your defense. You can't sit still for it. I'm lucky we could sit through this show.
I enjoy this.
I got tickets to go see Brian Ferry. Uh-huh. Just like spur of the moment.
I didn't know who Brian Ferry was.
He had no idea who he was.
I'm not sure. I still do.
You don't know.
I'm not sure.
You know? Bobby, know? Roxy Music, yeah.
Yeah.
Slave to Love. It was like in
Which
9.5 weeks.
Music?
Great, great songwriter, performer.
I had to take a phone call, by the way.
You had to take a phone call. You're full of it.
I swear to God, I'll show you the timestamp.
For the record, I do remember 9.5 weeks.
Yeah. Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger, of course. Yeah.
Great. And Clint did an original. It was a country, kind of a country song that you did at Composer Showcase to close the show. And every month, Keith does this great show called Composer Showcase.
And that's all original. You have to. Anyone who gets up on stage has to have written or co-written the song they're singing. So it's like somebody like me can't go in and just do something out of his act, you know?
Gotcha.
It's got to be an original song. And it's a great evening once a month at Smith Center. It's really a great evening.
By the way, I sat through the entire Lady Gaga concert.
You were probably out of date.
Well, that's another story. But
yeah,
still,
that's why. That's why you did. Otherwise, you would never sit through Lady
behave.
Gaga.
I like Lady Gaga, for the record. But anyways.
So my favorite Clint Holmes epiphany songwriting story is that Clint had a show and wrote a song called Comfortable Shoes. Mm-hmm. And we've been friends for a long time. And we were having lunch at Spago. And I think it was Spago. But we were at Caesar's Forum Shops. And after lunch, we had a great lunch. Clint says, you want to go across the hall and look at some shoes? And I said, well, I've never gone shopping for shoes with a guy before. But, you know, let's go. And we both bought a pair of shoes. And later on, I called him. I said, you know, we just went and bought shoes. He called Comfortable Shoes.
Comfortable
and the name
shoes.
Of your show is Comfortable Shoes.
Yes,
so it was kind
true.
Of an
that's
epiphany,
true.
If we could use the word epiphany in one show twice.
Wow.
And you guys want to talk about sports or just shoes
yeah.
and songs and
love sports.
Going shopping and concerts?
But that's why. I enjoy that's why I enjoy the show, because really you just get in, it's like a pinball, you just drop it in and wherever it goes yeah. you know what I mean?
That's how we start the show. But I probably should get the announcements out of the way first. There's a free wine tasting tonight at Grape Expectations tonight 6 p.m. a.m. to 8 p.m., 7360 East Gate Road, Suite 125. That's in Hendertucky. Henderson Free Wine Tasting, Grape Expectations. Clint's significant other, Kelly, is at the Bootlegger tonight, Monday. What time is this? I always mix up 7:30 or 9:30?
She starts whenever. 9.
9.
Yeah.
So I mix it up because she's at Tuscany on Wednesday.
Yeah, 7:30.
And so, so that one's 7:30 and the other one's 9-ish.
Yeah, and I'm singing it Monday's Dark tonight.
Is that tonight?
But I told them I have to go on first because then I got to get over to Kelly's. Yeah, you will. So I'll be there at 9:30.
What's do you know what the theme is for Monday's Dark tonight?
Stevie Wonder. That's why I volunteered.
Oh, is it really?
I always love to sing Stevie stuff. Yeah.
Where's that at tonight?
Space.
You won't sit through it. What's the difference?
Listen, don't be a hater all your life. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. My parents are coming to town in October. I'm going to take them to go see Clint, and I will sit through the whole show. I give you my word.
Woo.
Where's Space?
The Space?
Yeah. It's on Cavaretta Way. I know that because my friend Gary Cavaretta. It's on Cavaretta Way. It's true. That was named after his family, that whole street. So it's on Cavaretta Way.
Which
Google.
Is like Polaris.
You just GPS it. Just put it on GPS to Space,
cool,
and it'll come up.
Polaris, but it's,
yeah,
and they, GPS.
Yeah, it. Yeah. Mark Chinook does a great job, and he does it. I think it's more than once a month now. It used to be only once a month.
And
Kelly's at the Bootlegger. The Las Vegas Symphony Orchestra is playing on Thursday at the Richard McDonald Gallery at Aria. Pop Strings Chamber Orchestra. Shea Ander is producing that, and it's a benefit for the Volunteers in Medicine of Southern Nevada. So that's another great event. That's Thursday.
Thursday. Cool.
That's Thursday. I thought I was going to see over the weekend, Clint, because I went to the AFAN. Event, the Black and White Party, which was just a total blast at Hard Rock.
I was with Earl Turner.
You were on stage with Earl, and was that at South Point?
South Point.
They get some great shows there too.
What a weekend this was.
Every weekend.
Yeah.
We're in Vegas. That's why the name of this show is Vegas Nonstop. So I know your
That's
Dodgers.
What he had to actually
don't look at that clock
to remember the name of the show.
Clint's surprised I could remember the name of the show.
You looked on the board.
No, I looked at the clock. It's not on the board. It's not on the clock. The clock on the wall. So your Dodgers are how many games ahead now, Clint?
18.
I don't know. It's a joke.
I mean, it's
they're 50. They're 53 games over 500, and they will challenge the. I think it's the 2001
Mariners,
Seattle Mariners.
How was Granderson doing with the Mets before
he hit a home run in his first at bat?
But
how was he doing
since
with
May
the Mets?
First,
he's
been one of the 20 best in terms of on base average, power and stuff. He's been playing really, really well last night. It was a W with OBA. It said on base average. I couldn't figure out what small W was. I didn't know what that was.
I'll be honest with you. As much as I read statistics and look at it, I don't understand some of the nuances of these new baseball statistics.
This one was the new one that caught my eye. But the Dodgers to chase the 0-1 Mariners would have to go 30-10 over the last 40
games.
That's
tough.
Yeah, that is tough.
Tough. They just went 43-7 over 50 games.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, they don't have as much to play for down the stretch.
That's true. True. And if Roberts is smart, he'll rest some of the guys.
Exactly.
Listen,
Kershaw, I think the injury, assuming he comes back healthy,
is going to be pitching.
Great for him. The time off is great for him.
It's weighted on base average. So Curtis Granderson is in the top 20. Based on linear weights designed to measure a player's overall offensive contributions per plate appearance.
He in the 175.
Shout out to Tanya Brennan. To Clint over at the Smith Center. She couldn't join us today. She was supposed to join us today to give us the ladies' locker room point of view on NFL. But we're going to take our first commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 9:20 a.m. I know I interrupted right in the middle. I know. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
On the grass, the lunatic is on the grass, remembering games and daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic.
There was a guy named Walsh who was pretty good.
Oops.
Jonathan Scott, Vegas Nonstop, NBC Sports Radio. The Lunatic is in the hall. The Lunatic is on the microphone. Joining us, sports analyst Amal Shah, Jeffrey with a G, and headliner.
I want to ask Amal. He was saying before that the Dodgers almost have too much talent. What do you mean by that?
Well, you look in the outfield, right? And Clint, you mentioned Andre Ethier. I forgot about him. This team is so deep. They just optioned Jock Peterson to AAA because he was in a 2-for-39 or 2-for-40 slump. Adrian Gonzalez is coming back off the disabled list. So you have so much talent there, but the team has been so successful since the beginning of June that it's almost like you don't want to rock the boat by bringing in a Grandy, even though he's a great clubhouse leader, brings a lot of
veteran
presence to the team. And then, of course, you mentioned Ethier, and then you've got also Adrian Gonzalez coming back in, and Bellinger, he has the ability to play the outfield, play first base. I feel like this team is so deep. But again, look, as much as this team has accomplished, if they don't win the World Series, at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything. Not. Yeah, ask the 0-1 Mariners, ask the 0-7 Patriots.
Especially
the 0-7 Patriots. Because the team that we lost to was led by, I won't say what I want to say, but
That made me very angry.
A very average quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's no, I agree with you completely.
And a miracle catch. It was a miracle catch.
You couldn't even duplicate that in your dreams.
Yep.
I mean,
every Super Bowl the Patriots have, the last four Super Bowls, certainly maybe five Super Bowls that the Patriots have played in, there have been at least one miracle catch. First it was David Tyree.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then it was Mario Manningham.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Curse on Seattle.
Yes.
That drive down the sideline. Bounced around, caught in the chest.
Yeah.
And then Edelman made his catch last year.
Wow.
Before it hit the ground with three Falcons on top of him. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable.
It is.
But I'm going to give you a team to look for in the American League that's currently tied with the Yankees.
Boston, you're
going to
say the Red Sox, aren't you?
No.
I like the Minnesota Twins. I really do.
Yeah, they're playing great ball.
I like the way this team's playing. I don't think they're going to win necessarily the American League, but I think they could definitely challenge someone in the first round. I think they could beat a Houston.
Houston hasn't been playing well second.
They have not been playing
Clint,
at all.
You're absolutely right. But to what Jeffrey was saying, I think the one important aspect for Minnesota to challenge anybody is they have to get into the postseason, and I don't think they're going to do that.
Why?
Because they don't have enough
pitching. They're tied right now with the Yankees and the Angels.
That's fine. They
don't have that big arm. You're right.
Yeah, they're tied with the Angels, as you said. I'm not as high on the Angels. I still think Kansas City or Seattle is going to make that push.
I think
Cleveland's going to win the division.
Yeah.
But I think you're saying
you don't have faith in Bartolo Colon?
He's about as old as me. I don't have that much faith in him.
How about Dylan G?
Kyle Loesch, but Kyle Gibson. I mean, Paul Molitor trusts him about as much as anybody else. I mean, you know, he trusts him about as much as Joe Girardi trusts CeCe Sabathia.
You're right. Their best starter is probably Irvin Santana right now.
Yes, correct. It is without question.
Let's talk about Aaron Judge.
Let's.
What up?
Easy. Young kid comes up. It takes him half a season to go through the rotation a few times for teams to see him, look at tape, figure him out.
Yeah.
He hits 31 home runs at the break. He's hitting .330. He's got all these RBIs. Second half of the season, he's batting .185. I think maybe four or five home runs.
I think it's seven home runs.
And if you watch the way they pitch him, he can't hit the low and away pitch. So for a righty pitcher against a righty batter, you pitch him low and away or give him a little junk that just drops off, he swings at it.
I think you summarized it perfectly. I think you're spot on. Nothing to add. That's a mic drop.
And by the way, we saw this weekend.
Can he get better?
With time and patience,
he's going to have to realize that he's not going to hit 40 home runs and hit .330 every year. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. He needs to be more disciplined at the plate.
Right.
He needs to recognize certain pitches. He needs to learn how to take a walk and not swing at everything.
You know who's improved
in
that way?
And then he needs to learn how to go the other way with the ball.
You know who's improved?
Without going out of
Puig.
The park.
Puig has improved in that way. Puig is more selective.
He's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, he's gotten better.
Well, can I just say one thing? I think you're absolutely right that he's improved, but I've always felt like Puig was much more of a natural talent than an Aaron Judge. I think Puig was a guy whose talent...
Almost like a Bo Jackson.
Clint, you're a tennis guy a little bit, right?
I am.
Nick Kyrgios.
Right.
The most frustrating guy out there, because to me, on tour, besides Roger Federer and probably Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal, I would say Nick Kyrgios is probably the fourth most talented guy on the tour. But he's an absolute head case.
Wawrinka?
Yeah.
No, not Nick. Nick's serve and his natural ability, his ability
to handle.
I
haven't watched him enough.
You know who said that?
He's fun to watch, too.
Nick Bollettieri said, if this guy puts it together, this guy's going to win majors. He's going to be a top
Andy
player.
Murray?
He's more talented than Andy Murray because of his serve.
Andy Murray was a head case for years before he put it together.
Yeah. The thing with Nick is, though, Nick doesn't care. Andy Murray at least competes. One thing you got to respect about the top four, when we mentioned the big four, Joker, Fed, Nadal, and Murray, they all compete.
Wawrinka competes.
Wawrinka
competes.
Those guys.
Absolutely, he competes. But Nick doesn't compete. Nick has the talent to beat these guys.
He gets there and then he falters.
No, he's half-hearted. I mean, I remember there was a match last year. He got suspended and fined by the ATP in Shanghai. I think it was Shanghai. He was serving underhanded in the second set because he didn't want to be there. The guy who was playing was happy because for those smaller guys, it's happy. They advance in the tournament. They double their income.
Yeah, right.
And terrible. So that was a big deal.
That's a disgrace. Very unprofessional.
Yeah. Who was the player who said he really didn't? That was recently. A player who said he didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Yeah.
Bernie Tomic. Tomic. Yeah, and he's friends with Kyrgios. They're both from Australia. No. Tomic's like, I got $10 million. Who cares? I'm 22, 23 years old. I'm rich. Who cares? And you know what? Look, one of the things that we do in sports that's a problem, at least people on our side of the mic, we criticize people because they don't want to be involved in it. I always say, Clint, you've been singing your whole life. You know, if a guy like you says, I'm tired of it, we would sit there and say, wow, you got this great talent. Why don't you continue? But the reality is, same thing with an athlete. These guys have been doing it since they're 6, 7, 8 years old. Mm-hmm. They get tired of it. When you get to the pros, you've been doing it for 20-plus years, and people don't realize that.
It can beat you up a lot.
Absolutely. And people think because they want to be in that position, well, this guy
especially
should continue.
Especially when you're young and perhaps a lot of your childhood was taken away from you.
Absolutely.
From all the lessons, all the traveling, all the coaching, all of this, and you never get to have fun.
But I think that's why you see issues with guys like Tiger Woods. You remember the Todd Marinovich story? All these guys run into problems because they're so immersed in that sport or what the activity that they're doing that it doesn't allow them to have a life.
It's funny that you brought up those two examples because both of them were so driven by their fathers.
Yes, exactly.
Agassi is another example of that. He broke the cycle a little bit, finally. But most of his career.
These guys that are just driven by their fathers since they're like this high, they don't have lives. They live in this shadow of fear almost.
Absolutely.
Trying to live up to some unimaginable platform that you can't reach in their eyes.
No, you're 1,000% right. It's unfortunate. You want people to be able to pursue their passions, and you want people to push them, but not to the point where they bury them in that.
Yeah, Liza Minnelli was like that. Okay, go ahead.
It was funny when I saw her, when we had her, she was at the Westgate, which was then the Hilton, and that was, I think, the last time that she was in Las Vegas. Uh-huh. And she wanted the light guys, and I was talking, you know, I was texting the light guys. She lit up the crowd in the front, and she hardly moved around. She hardly danced at all. She was on a stool, and there. I said, you know, can you turn the lights down on the house lights, because they were up on the audience, and it's like really kind of distracting. She said, no, Miss Minnelli wants the house lights on, and she's been very demanding. In fact, she had us go out for 2 cartons of cigarettes today, and her voice was just like, really. But I, you know, anyway, I love seeing Liza Minnelli. Peter Allen was great. He died tragically young. I mean, he was an amazing talent.
Peter was a really good friend.
But he didn't play baseball or football. Want to talk
about the Red Sox played baseball this weekend,
football,
Jonathan?
You want to talk about Anquan Boldin retiring 2 weeks after joining the Buffalo Bills?
No, I don't think there's much of a story there.
Yeah, I don't either.
Class act. You want to talk about a guy that leaves it on the field every week, regardless of what team he plays for?
No,
I don't think so.
I think he's in the Hall of Very Good.
Yeah,
not the Hall of Fame.
I agree. But you want to talk about a guy that you want on your team when the game's on the line, when he lays out and puts his butt and makes his catches? 100%.
You know,
love that guy.
He's from a place in Florida called Pahokee,
okay,
which is a pretty indigent area. And one of the things, Pete Carril, the old Princeton coach, used to run that stall offense, if you remember when they took out
the
Georgetown. Yeah, exactly. He had one of the greatest lines I ever heard in recruiting. He goes, never recruit a kid from a 3-car garage home. and so it kind of goes to this. You look at a guy like Anquan Boldin, went to Florida State, went there as a quarterback, was an incredible athlete, moved to wide receiver. Guys like him always played with a drive and a passion.
Chip on the shoulder.
Yeah, and you know, Clint, you see it in your business.
Passion, drive,
absolutely.
Hunger.
Absolutely, absolutely. And he was always driven, had a great stellar career, played 15 years, so, you know.
On how many different teams?
Ravens,
Cardinals. Seattle, Niners.
Niners, I don't remember. Was he on the Hawks for a year?
I think for a year. And he's such a great presence in the locker room for the younger receivers. You know, we don't talk about these young receivers that are coming out and practicing the running of the route.
Yeah.
That is so important. Guys like Jerry Rice and Randy Moss and the guys, that was instilled in their brain. You would see Rice on the practice field before and after games just running routes, perfecting it.
You just told my favorite sports story of all time. 49ers win Super Bowl 29. They beat the Chargers by a million points. A week and a half later, Steve Young goes to the facility up in San Francisco to the 49ers office. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Jerry Rice just won the Super Bowl. He's out there running routes by himself.
Yep. Wow.
This is why this guy was the greatest of all time.
100%.
Well, Walter Payton. I mean, Walter Payton would be running up mountains, you know, before the games. Payton was crazy.
He was amazing, but to me, Jerry Rice, the best football player I've ever seen, in my opinion.
Yeah, certainly the best wide receiver.
That's a big statement.
It is a big statement, but you know what? You know what I always say? The play that always reminds me of why Jerry Rice was so great. They were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl when he was with the Oakland Raiders, and they're down by 28 points. I think the score is like 55-27 with about a minute to go, and Rich Gannon throws him an out route for about 6 yards. Rice, like, fights, like, literally shakes the defender and dives to the sideline to stop the clock with about a minute to go, down by 28. And I remember I said to a friend of mine, I go, that right there is why this guy's the greatest of all time. Down 28, he's playing like they're down 4 with
a minute
to
go. And by
the
way, that was 2003, towards the end of his career.
Yeah. It was like in year 19 or 18 or something.
He was an old man.
Yes.
And he's grinding for every inch.
Absolutely.
Great.
No, and you're right. And you make a good point about the best football player ever, because if you want to epitomize a football player, the championships, being a captain, leading by example, the longevity of the career, and then the sheer numbers. You know, you look at Rice, and then number two, the gap is so wide, it's not even close. It's like looking at Wayne Gretzky and everyone else.
You use my analogy. I was going to use your example. It kind of goes to Wayne Gretzky. The greatest stat in sports ever is Wayne Gretzky has more assists.
You take away all of his goals.
Yeah, he has more assists.
He's still the leading scorer in the NHL history.
Really?
Yes.
Well, Clint, we've had this conversation about the greatest.
Take away all his goals. He has more assists.
The leading scorer
than any other player with assists and goals. That is crazy.
We've talked about the greatest players in every sport. You know, the Michael Jordans, and, you know, who comes to mind in every different sport.
I think you also have to do it generationally, because I do believe that sports do change over time.
If generation
the players change, the players change, the games change, everything changes. But, yeah, I mean, in my lifetime, I would go, you know, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky. I guess I'd have to go Jerry Rice to some extent, although I'd have to go Brady just with my heart. You want to talk about a guy who plays with a chip on his shoulder, being picked 199th and doing what he's done.
I thought he was underrated in the draft, because I saw him play every game at Michigan. I thought he was a great quarterback then.
He was even a backup to Henson then, wasn't he?
No, but he ended up replacing Henson. To me, Brady has always been a winner. I've always said Tom Brady is probably the third or fourth most competitive athlete I've ever seen.
Especially with deflated balls. We're going to take another commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio.
Who is this guy? Who is that?
Perfect.
Jonathan Scott, Vegas Nonstop,
Moon
here at
River. NBC.
Moon over Miami, Moon River. This is Ozzy Osbourne.
Clark at the Moon.
Clark at the Moon.
Don't get mad at me, but I know Moon River from Fletch. When he's going, Moon River. I don't actually know the song, but I know it from the line of Fletch.
Yeah, that was a Chevy Chase movie. Goldie Hawn? Chevy Chase, Goldie Hawn?
No, Goldie Hawn.
No, just who was the co-star in Fletch?
I can't think of
Lisa,
her name.
Nicholas Welcher, Wheeler or something. No. Wheeler Nicholson. Lisa Wheeler Nicholson. I don't think so.
Is that your final answer?
That was my final answer. Lisa Wheeler Nicholson. Can we get confirmation on that?
Wait, how about his real co-star was really Gina Davis?
Ouch. I keep forgetting I'm connected.
She played the junior journalist, Gina Davis.
Yes, she did. Oh, my man, Jeffrey. Solid answer.
I got nothing.
Chuck, I'll take Fletch for 800.
Is that your final answer? Last week, our friend Alan Gliss gave me a call and said, do you want to go? Well, actually, I saw him at Composer Showcase. Said, do you want to go see Who Wants to Be a Millionaire tomorrow? And Cindy Williams, our friend Cindy Williams, was the guest celebrity on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So we went to the taping, and they've got an amazing television studio. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, right behind Caesars, kind of across from Ellis Island. We went to the taping, and I didn't know that the host, Chris, whatever his name is, was also the host of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So I had to hear about The Bachelor and Bachelorette for like about an hour.
Oh, Chris Harrison?
Yeah, Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always wondered how that guy went from Oklahoma City to hosting The Bachelor. That was a pretty good. That was a pretty good jump. By the way, I it was Dana Wheeler Nicholson.
Thank you. Viewers were wondering. So you guys want to talk about elite quarterbacks who, you know, trying out for quarterback position? We were talking about that a little bit during the break.
I had a question about why is there any correlation between Kaepernick and RG3 kind of...
Before we get into that, can we just talk for one brief second about Jerry Lewis passing over the weekend, mm-hmm. and Dick Gregory over the weekend, yep. both yeah. significant and certainly in different ways. There was a lot of posts on social media about both. Dick Gregory, to me, and I know you could relate to this, was just the best example of how if you find the honesty, the laughs will come.
Mm, absolutely. And he had the courage because he was ahead of his time in terms of what he talked about. He was an icon in that way. You're right. The early African American comedians, had to be pretty courageous.
I mean, I watched some of the clips of Dick Gregory over the weekend. 60 Minutes did a little snippet of some of the things that he said, and he was just dealing with honesty. You know, he was talking about having to sit on the back of the bus, but at least he got a seat.
Yeah, the other one that comes to mind all the time,
Richard Pryor.
Richard a little later, but Dick Gregory.
Flip Wilson?
Dick Gregory was really probably the most socially significant of the comedians of that era in the 60s, in the early 60s. And then
CNN has been doing the series on the history of comedy.
Oh, really?
And it's really been interesting because they've been going decade by decade in political comedy and social comedy and Dick Gregory was on a lot, actually.
And then Jerry Lewis, 91 years old, amazing. Whether you liked him, didn't like him, you know, he still was an icon and one of the last great ones that we've had.
Well, there was nothing to dislike in terms of his talent.
Right.
He lived here for the last, I think Larry King said it best. Larry said he was a great friend of Jerry Lewis's. Jerry did not age gracefully necessarily, but his gifts and what he gave everybody, all of us, were enormous.
Well, even before
maybe the most important comedian.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, and his philanthropic work. I mean, every Labor Day, the telethon every Labor Day.
Well, I was getting
growing up as a kid, you always watched it.
Yeah, he brought more recognition to muscular dystrophy than anybody else I can think of to a particular disease since Magic Johnson HIV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because even though he was not afflicted by it, he still brought so much attention to it. I can remember Labor Day weekend, the telethon.
Yeah. It was what we
Jeffrey.
All did.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
It was Jerry's kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, philanthropically, he was as big an entertainment icon as we've ever had.
And just on a personal note, if you're a person to be and be an immense talent like him, but to be recognized for your philanthropic work is actually a greater self-satisfaction and recognition in your life to be known for that. That's amazing.
Yep.
Well, we're sitting here with somebody that says yes to almost every charity in town.
But you can't compare what I've done to what he did.
Well, the social responsibility is certainly there with all of us. You know, we try and get something out every show that we talk about something that's going on in our community. Anyway, I just thought it needed some kind
I'm glad you brought it up.
Just addressing to it before we talk about the elite quarterbacks and who's competing and the Broncos and.
We'll mention Trevor Siemian, who got the starting now, but Clint had a good question about RG3 and Colin Kaepernick. I think the difference is this. RG3 was a high draft pick. They traded, their future to get him. But the thing was, from people that I know, they said he wasn't well-liked within the Washington locker room. And then I think in professional sports, like any other endeavor, once your confidence starts to wane a bit, it becomes very difficult to scale the mountain again. Go ahead.
He came into the league with quite an attitude on him. And I know he came from a big program in Baylor, and he was the man.
Well, it wasn't even that big.
When he got on the field and he had some success, it immediately went to his head.
Yeah, I think
so. And you saw the disconnect with his coach, and you saw the disconnect with his teammates. And then the injury started mounting, and this guy was lost. He never was able to get back on track again.
Well, I don't even know where he is right now.
He's not in the league.
He knows where he is.
He's not in the league. Yeah, wow. This is – people don't realize – you know, we talk about all these guys that make these high salaries, but the league cuts guys very quickly. And, you mentioned Kaepernick. Spike Lee was talking about doing a protest, which he's not going to attend on behalf of Colin Kaepernick, which is my favorite part of that. But here's the thing. You're protesting because you want a guy to get paid millions of dollars. The bottom line is this. If Colin Kaepernick could actually play at a level of a true starting quarterback, Trust me, he'd be on somebody's roster. The NFL does not care if you're accused of murder, if you've assaulted somebody, if you could.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Aside from being familiar with Adam Gase's offense, do you think that Cutler is a better option than Kaepernick?
As much as I hate Cutler, yes, and here's the reason why. You know, I'll give you a name that Jonathan may be familiar with being from Chicago, Jeff George.
Sure.
You know, he's all-world talent.
Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, has got a great arm. Exactly. You know, look, in Cutler's defense, when he was in Denver, he was a good quarterback. When he came to Chicago, he was expected to do, like, basically lead them to a Super Bowl because they already had a defense in place. I think what hurts Cutler more than anything else is not his lack of talent or his talent itself. I think it's his outward emotion or lack thereof.
Yeah. It didn't seem like the team wanted to play for him in Chicago.
It's exactly.
When they had McGowan in, the team would gel.
It seemed most times he didn't want to be there.
Exactly.
You look at him sitting on the bench, it looks like someone just told him he lost his puppy.
But you know the problem in sports is we expect guys who are good to be leaders. And that because you're good at something, doesn't make you a leader.
True, but in the NFL, the quarterback needs to be the leader.
The quarterback needs to be the leader.
I agree, but don't you think leadership is to a certain extent a natural characteristic or a trait?
Yes.
I think some people have that ability and some people don't. You know, you take someone, like, I'll give you an example. If you were to put me in front of 500 people to go up and speak, I got no problem with it. But you take somebody else, they're going to be a basket case. Everybody's got different strengths and weaknesses. Now, if you go up there and ask me to sing, we can get people to exit faster than a fire.
Do you drink coffee?
No coffee. Come on, man. I'm naturally wired. Come on.
Red Bull?
I've never had an energy drink in my life.
No?
Never. Nope.
Okay. So getting back to the elite quarterbacks.
The look Jeffrey just shot me was priceless.
He's like, you're wired for some, baby.
You want to talk about some of the young quarterbacks?
Yeah, let's talk about some of them that are competing for their jobs.
I can't remember a year where we had so much, like, really young talent, like rookies coming up. I'm looking at this article about Mahomes. He's gaining fast on Alex Smith.
Wow. Yeah. Listen.
This is the kid from Texas Tech, correct?
Yes, correct. But here's the thing, okay? All these guys look good because this is a walkthrough.
I get it.
When you put people to the fire, it's a different story. Defenses are vanilla. They're not playing against regular guys that are going to be starting. Some of these guys might be looking for jobs with Jonathan in about a week. So, I mean, you can't sit there and go overboard in terms of who they're playing.
These rookies?
That's a scary thought
yes,
right there.
Exactly. I mean, some of the guys that are playing that are right now, they are going to be there until the 75-man cut, and then you have the big 75 to the 53-man cut. A lot of these guys are not going to be in the league. Rosters are at 90 people.
He's not going anywhere.
No, he's not going anywhere. But
Kaiser's not going anywhere. Deshaun Watson's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but you know what? Look, Watson was 3-for-10 the other day. Wasn't exactly anything to write home about.
I'll bet you right now he'll be starting over Savage before week 6.
I just love that you're using the word I'll bet you right now.
No. Hold on.
He'll bet you right now.
That's like me saying Michael Jordan was better than Ron Harper.
You're comparing
Tom Savage is
Deshaun
trash.
Watson to Michael Jordan?
No. What I'm saying is Tom Savage is garbage.
Bringing Ron Harper into the conversation.
Tom Savage
is
great.
Wow.
I liked Harper.
Listen,
was great.
Listen, most people couldn't pick Tom Savage out of a police lineup if he was the only one standing in it, okay? He's just not a quality NFL quarterback. He's stealing money. Okay. Let's just bottom line it.
They have Mark Sanchez on the team as well.
Wow. Another guy stealing money. This guy should be using a ski mask going into the office
Sanchez
every Tuesday.
This
is on Houston.
On Houston.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So break it down. Break it down for us, Jeffrey, with a G. Who's competing for jobs? What teams haven't decided yet?
So the four big names at quarterback that are all rookies that are competing or either have a really good chance at starting are obviously Mitch Trubisky for your Chicago Bears.
And I love that there would be a Polish quarterback for the Bears.
He went to my high school, by the way.
The Grabowskis.
Have you watched him play?
I have.
And do you like what you're saying?
I think he looks good, but it's early. You know what? You put him in week one against Atlanta, Atlanta's going to roast these guys.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. We can't get too excited. Look, you think about this. When RG3 had that successful rookie campaign with the Redskins, but part of it was his mobility. He also had much better talent around him. Then Houston's got some good talent on the offensive side of the ball, but they did lose Will Fuller due to an injury. I think Watson's going to start.
Will Fuller retired?
Yeah. I mean,
having number 75 in front of you in the middle is huge for a quarterback.
Well, it is, but I think he also couldn't move anymore, so his retirement was kind of like, hey, Will, we need to get you out of here. But what I'm saying is Watson's going to start. Trubisky will be a backup. I think he'll end up playing midway through the season because the Bears are going to be on the clock by about week 4.
Well,
did Trubisky even play in the exhibition game the other day?
He was 6-for-8 for about 60 yards.
Here's the thing, though, that you also have to understand: this is a business. They're paying Mike Glennon $16 million this year. They're going to want to see him on the field.
Yeah, but listen, the two of the four greatest words I've ever learned in my life: opportunity cost and sunken cost. Glennon's a sunken cost.
Yes.
If he's on the team, you want to win. The bottom line is you're better off getting Trubisky experience. You're going to have to pay Glennon $16 million either way. But I don't think Glennon's going to be on the roster next year. I think they're going to cut him.
And Trubisky's going to be your starter in year two?
Year two, yeah.
Okay. How's the O-line in Chicago this year?
It's a little bit better. Look, they were able to run the ball with Thomas Howard. So I think they'll be okay in the running game. But look, they've got a lot of areas to fill. This is a team that'll be lucky to win 5 to 6 games.
And how's the receiving core? No Alshon Jeffrey,
no
Brandon
Marshall.
No,
they're not good. They're not good at the receiving core. So okay. It doesn't matter really who's the quarterback.
But the Cubs are still up by 2.
I like the running back, Howard.
Thomas Howard, yeah.
Yeah.
So Cubs are still up by actually, 2, and we're going to take our last commercial break here on Vegas Nonstop, NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. Stay where you are.
Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday. Oh, dream maker, you heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way.
Jonathan's got Vegas nonstop. Bobby throwing us for a loop with a little Moon River. Playing some Henry Mancini from the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Starring Audrey Hepburn, who everybody who ever saw that fell in love with her for at least a while.
You know who my favorite character in that whole movie was? Mickey Rooney. He played the Asian guy that lived upstairs.
Oh,
it was so crazy. It was such a crazy role for him. Anyway, we talk about movies, but we're in the last segment here. So you guys want to talk about the fight? Want to talk about McGregor?
Might as well. We're not going to get another chance before Saturday night. This is it.
You just showed me something that someone predicts
McGregor. Well, this is just in a lot of these big games, they'll do a game simulation. So on the WWE 2K16 simulation, which they probably ran 5,000 times, they predict Conor McGregor will beat Floyd Mayweather.
How? Knock him out?
You want me to tell you how it predicts it?
And McGregor is 40-1 to win by decision.
In the slowest boxing match in history, it says.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It was a long fight that was more grabbing than punching, but McGregor ultimately emerged victorious after a pin. Oh.
There's a clause in his contract.
Yes, he'll lose.
Yeah, oh, that's the sanity clause.
You're
not kidding me. Yeah. There's no such thing as sanity clause.
Wow.
If he goes off the rails and he gets DQ'd for certain reasons, he won't get paid.
Correct.
He won't get paid.
He loses his purse.
He gets DQ'd.
Yes. Listen.
If he kicks him.
Right mind that knows boxing, that has watched boxing, that has seen boxing, will tell you two things. McGregor will not touch Floyd, and Floyd will have his way with McGregor.
I've had two people tell me this is the greatest bet in the history of sports.
Yes, correct.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. To take McGregor at 5-1.
No. To take Floyd.
At anything.
I'm sorry, not McGregor. Mayweather. Forgive me. I'm sorry. To take Floyd at minus 500.
Are people saying he'll knock him out or just win a long, boring
I think
decision?
Most people think he'll knock him out. Yeah. Well, I've heard a lot of people say knock him out because one of the guys said who trained in MMA said Floyd hits. He goes, I've trained with Floyd and I've trained in the gym with Connor. He goes, Floyd hits harder than people realize. And the other thing about Floyd is say whatever you want about him. In my opinion, he's arguably the greatest defensive fighter of all time.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And
it's hard to imagine him getting a shot.
Yeah.
Well, here's something else that's interesting is the Nevada Athletic Commission agreed to allow them to use 8-ounce gloves instead of the 10-ounce gloves.
Yeah, but Floyd's fought 49 fights in his career.
I know.
You know how many fights he's fought with 8-ounce gloves? 46.
Okay.
So my point is people are making a big deal about this. They don't even realize.
No, I think it's a bigger deal for McGregor because he's going from a 4-ounce glove. Granted, it's not 10, but it's 8.
Yeah, no, I mean, people are making a big deal from the Floyd
side. How many rounds has Floyd fought in his career? It's a crazy number. 347.
Okay.
How many rounds has McGregor fought in MMA? 37. So from a stamina standpoint, I don't see how McGregor lasts.
Does it mean anything that Floyd's 40?
And he's never fought with boots on.
What's the age difference?
40 to 29?
29 or 28,
But Clint, you bring up a good point about his age. But I think because he's been in the ring within the last 24 months, I think it was about 24, maybe 27 months ago.
He's such a conditioned athlete.
What's the difference in arm length?
Two-inch advantage for McGregor and a slight advantage in height as well.
Yeah.
What's the craziest bet on a prop?
It'll end in a draw at 45-1.
Oh, it's 45-1. It was 30-1.
Yeah,
I love
it's 45
that.
To
That's
one.
My bet right there.
Yeah,
it's gonna end in a tie. It's a draw.
Look, this is amazing to me simply because people are actually. I don't know how many people are going to pony up for it. You know, there's plenty of seats left. Because,
oh, really?
Well, because the pricing for mid-level seats are between $3,500 and $5,500.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you're an A-list.
Ringside are all like 15, 20 grand.
Yeah, but those are A-list celebrities. Jonathan, yeah. You have a question? Go ahead, please. Back row.
No, I want you guys, I want you guys to, we only have a couple of minutes left, to give some prognostications for bets during the week. Or, you know, any betting for coming up next weekend?
Floyd is minus.
It could be parlays, it could be baseball, it could be football. Jeffrey with a G.
I wasn't prepared give you a pick.
What do you got, buddy?
I mean, I could give you some plays that I like tonight in baseball.
What do you got?
I love the Minnesota Twins today. They're playing in a doubleheader against the White Sox. They've been scoring runs like crazy. Miguel Sano did go on the DL, so they are missing one of their bigger bats in the lineup, but this is the White Sox we're talking about. Minnesota's playing very well. Right now, the game just started, so you won't be able to bet it. But let me see if I got another one here.
Amal's got something.
Well, I was going to say, whoever wins the Twins White Sox first game,
take the opposite
team in the second game. Teams in losing the first game in a doubleheader this year, coming back and winning the second game, are 17-3.
Here's a game that I like tonight: Texas Rangers against the Los Angeles Angels. Cole Hamels are on the mound for Texas, and they're +150
against Tyler Skaggs.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love that. Why not?
Why not?
I'm just saying, I got a hot lefty who's 8-1 on the mound with a lineup that I know can hit.
Yeah.
Clint Holmes, 4 more appearances at the Golden Nugget.
4 more. Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Oh, you're and done? Then you've got a couple of dates. Oh. Slow it down. Okay, a couple of dates coming up at the Smith Center.
I just signed a date every month the rest of the year.
Nice.
And three in December.
And Rendezvous is out. They
and
can download.
A couple of dates at the Suncoast. And in negotiations to do a thing in Lincoln Center in New York, which is a pretty big deal next
that's
year.
That's a huge deal. Yeah,
what's
that's
that?
Deal.
What's that?
I can't talk about it yet because the offer came in and we're negotiating it now.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be great. Doing Ella Fitzgerald's 100th birthday in Miami Beach. In next month.
Real
and
quick.
They've got the greatest audiences in the world.
Clint, I'll pay for myself. Can I just come hang out with you?
Sure.
I'm serious.
Quick question before we go. How do you see the fight ending? How does this go?
Floyd in probably 6 to 7 rounds.
Knockout?
Yes.
Wow. I'm going Floyd decision.
Wow. I'm going, if McGregor can't get him early,
it's his only shot. First 4 rounds.
Yeah. I'm taking the draw because there's so much money they're going to want to do it again.
Ooh. And it doesn't hurt Floyd's record.
All right.
Well,
it doesn't hurt. It doesn't affect his record in any way.
Does he have any draws on his record?
No.
No. So he
one more week of exhibition football.
It doesn't go on his
record. Yeah, two more weeks, actually.
Two more weeks,
boy,
and then
I'm so
Thursday.
Ready to start the season.
Next week we have college football starting.
Yeah.
We'll do a college preview next week because college is starting.
Can't wait.
I know.
Thanks to Clint Holmes for joining us in studio. Jeffrey with a G.
Good to be back,
guys. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. If you see us out, please say hello, eat well.
Buy us a drink.
Party hard. Tell me why I don't.